Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's word as we pray. Sovereign God, let your word rule in our hearts and your spirit govern our lives until, at last, we see the fulfillment of your realm of justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading is Psalm 8, and you can find that on page 848 in your pew Bible. Lord, our Lord, how majestic in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you have put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's one of my favorite psalms. Thank you, John. Well, friends, we are continuing in our sermon series as we look at key passages from Christ's resurrection all the way through until his ascension and then the founding of the church, which we celebrated the birthday of the church, Pentecost, last Sunday, and now looking at passages, key passages to the early church. And we've been following the disciples as they were experiencing these different events with Christ that really were beyond their imagination. From witnessing his resurrection to multiple eyewitness accounts of miracles that he performed, over 500 eyewitnesses saw the risen Lord Jesus with their own eyes. Then watching Jesus ascend into heaven and taking seriously Jesus' promise of waiting in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which would then be the birth of the church on Pentecost Sunday. Now, this morning, we're going to pick up in our series right after Pentecost and after the birth of the church, and we're going to look at two different passages this morning that Luke shares with us of what the early church looked like in its infancy. And our first passage is going to be from Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at the last part of Acts chapter 2, so right after the day of Pentecost. So we're going to pick up with verse 42, go to the end of that chapter, and then we're going to switch over to chapter 4 and keep going on verse 32. Now, the beautiful part is that if you're doing it electronically, it'll all show up on the screen for you. I just have one page turn here. So, friends, hear now the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. The Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. And then chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. All of the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed to have any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses, they sold them. They brought their money to the of their sales and put it at the apostles' feet. and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Throughout the book of Acts, Luke takes a pause to give a summary statement and to help paint a vivid picture of the early church or of its leadership. And there are 9 such summary statements by Luke throughout the book of Acts in which he's hoping that his readers will begin to grasp the power of and the change that's happening within the early church at this time. Now, it's important to note that that Luke is writing about the early church probably around 30 years after the birth of the church. Okay? Now, this is important to note because that means that the point of the message of the gospel has now been spread throughout the Roman Empire when Luke is writing these words. The church universal is finding itself separated from the original church of Jerusalem, not only by distance, but also by time and by culture. We know that 30 years is a generation, right? 30 years, a generation. So many things can change in a church in just one generation. Well, we know that's true here in the HPC family, right? We're over 50 years old. We've had multiple generations come through here. But Luke wants to paint for his readers a picture of what you might have experienced had you walked into the first church in Jerusalem in those early days. So Luke is doing his readers a favor by sharing with them and helping them feel connected to that original church in Jerusalem. Did Luke have any idea that we would still be looking at his beautiful literary snapshots of the early church 2,000 years later to help us feel connected as well? Well, that's another question I can't wait to ask when I get to heaven. Luke's purpose for these summary stories wasn't just for historical purposes, though. Rather, Luke was attempting to show us that the early church was a community that really stood apart from the rest of society. And it's particularly interesting in the fact that early Jewish Christians in Jerusalem had the favor of the people. And even with their great similarities, they, as Christians, were taken notice of in this amazing city of faith called Jerusalem. In contrast, though, Christian communities around the rest of the Roman Empire, those first 30 years, they looked vastly different than the societies that they were themselves a part of. In Luke's summaries, where the purpose of it was not just to give churches around the Mediterranean world hope, but it gave them tangible characteristics of which they could hold on to generation after generation. And that's the lasting legacy of Luke's summaries, and exactly what we need to look at this morning. So in order to understand why the early church community stood apart from the rest of society, we need to understand how they were fundamentally different. Luke lays out for us specific characteristics that helped set the church community apart. And I think one of the best ways to illustrate this point comes in the form of a song. Laura, do we have hymn 300? She's ready to go. This is why she's awesome. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Do you know this song?
Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit.
Hallelujah, amen. Here's the best part. That came to me last night at about 7 o'clock. I walked in this morning to ask Laura. She's like, oh, yeah, no music. She just punches that out. Are we blessed or what? Thank you, Laura. And apparently, this was true of the early church. What we just sang was true of the early church. This is exactly what Luke paints for us. The characteristics that Luke gives to us can be summed up in two ways. First was the early church's love for God, and the second was their love for one another. Let's break that down a little bit. Let's look at that first one, their love for God. One of the early characteristics, first, their love for God, it made them hungry for the truth. They were hungry for God's word. They were hungry for the teachings of the apostles. They were hungry to hear about Christ's saving work. Every day the apostles would gather in the portico of the temple to teach from the scriptures and retell the teachings of the work of Christ. The people couldn't get enough. By the way, there's no church building at this point. They're meeting in the temple, where everybody can come and gather and everybody can come and hear. They're in a public space, the most public space in all of Jerusalem, having church every day. And their love for God also drew them together regularly for prayer. Both here and throughout the book of Acts, Luke is constantly reminding us that the early church gathered together regularly for prayer. Now, the great Chinese theologian Watchman Nee once wrote, "Our prayers lay the track on which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails." The early church understood that power. They spent much time in prayer trying to lay down those tracks of God's work to be done. Their love for God drove much of what they did. But in addition to their love for God was their love for one another. Along with that devotion to the apostles' teaching was their devotion to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. In the Greek, te koinonia, the fellowship, meant a distinctive gathering with a unique identity. They didn't just get together because they were friends or family, but they gathered together for the purpose of loving one another in the name of Christ. And we see, as Luke talks about their unity, that they had everything in common. Luke also reveals how they ate together in their homes with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Now, one distinction that Luke notes a couple of times that helps spell out this love for one another was their willingness to give to anybody that was in need. The church is the people, and when the people suffer, the church suffers with. So Luke is pointing out that the believers had everything in common and gave to anyone who had need. And he goes on in chapter 4 to further detail how the believers recognized that their money and their possessions weren't really their own. Everything they had was a blessing from God. And because of this recognition, they would graciously give of their possessions, sharing everything that they had in order to meet the needs of others in the church. It was an absolutely amazing example of generosity. And Luke notes that God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons with them. Wow, what a blessing. This is what community looked like in the early church. Love, devotion, a hunger for the truth, unity, fellowship, prayer, and freely giving. These are the qualities that Luke spells out for us, and it was these qualities that helped the early church stand out and show the world what a Christ-centered community should look like. Don't you just wish you could have been there to experience it yourself? But Luke knew that his readers would then set this picture of the early church against, in contrast to the societies that they were living in. And for the original readers of Luke's gospel, that was 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire, in many of these Roman cities, or in areas of Parthia as well. Society today is not unlike it was back then. There's still a great love for self. In the Pacific Northwest, we have this thing. It's called look out for number one, right? Pacific Northwesterners, we are the rugged individualists. If you look in Webster's dictionary under rugged individualism, there should be a picture of the Pacific Northwest, right? We can do it, and we can do it on our own, for crying out loud, and we don't need anybody else's help. Look out for yourself. Things don't change over time. And a love for money and possessions, I still see that bumper sticker every once in a while that says, one with the most toys wins. Now, one thing that has changed, I think, quite a bit is advertising in 2,000 years. Advertising is its own economic engine, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Did you know that in 2022, $332 billion was spent in advertising in the U.S. alone? Wrap your mind around that. $332 billion just in advertising stuff or services, right? Globally, from what they can account for, because obviously a lot of advertising doesn't go through, you know, official digital channels and whatnot, but worldwide last year it was $626 billion. They expect that number to hit $1 trillion before we get to 2030. There's a wise and true proverb: you put your money where your heart is. So we have a love of self, we have a love of money and possessions. We also have a love of power. There's this constant struggle, and it's always been around. Constant struggle between political and economic powers at the local level, the state level, national theaters, throughout the world. And the results of a life approach to society, this has left people empty and wanting for generations. These struggles for self, for money, for possessions and power. It leaves people empty. And so Luke's picture of the early church becomes even more important and more precious to us, of what a Christ-centered community that stood in direct contrast to the society of the world should be looking like. The early church around the world was so successful in part because they were being community in the face of societal norms. This community got the attention of the people, and it made others take notice. But it was one last thing they saw, which was the final piece that Luke adds to each of these summary stories. And that was the hand of God. The hand of God was clearly on the early church and God's blessings on this community. Luke says that the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved, and that God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them that there were no needy people amongst them. Being a small church in a large city in the Roman Empire struggling against the pressures of society, wouldn't Luke's words have come as great encouragement and hope? Wouldn't you want to hold on to the tangibles that you saw in the early church in Jerusalem and try to make them your own? Wouldn't your desire increase to be that same Christ-centered community that others would take notice about and ask about? As a church, wouldn't you yearn to see God's mighty hand of direction and blessing on all of you as well? Well, 2,000 years later, the church is not in that much of a different place. Yes, some things like technology have taken a big leap in change, but the societal norms and the common realities have not. The influence and characteristics of the early church community are still monumentally important today. We find ourselves in a world that continues to be hungry for the truth, relevance, and lasting community, and the Christ-centered church is able to provide all three of those. How did the early church do it? They did it through their love for God. They did it through their love for one another. They did it by committing themselves to prayer. And lastly, they did it by leading with generous hearts. What was true 2,000 years ago, I believe, is still true and relevant today. And Luke's words continue to give us a guide in which we can compare and recognize as our potential of what it means to be truly be community. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that one of the roles of your Holy Spirit was the creation and the preservation of your word. The inspiration that you gave to Luke to record for us these beautiful snapshots, these literary pictures for us of what the early church was like. Knowing that for hundreds and thousands of years, we would still look back upon it to be able to find our inspiration of what you're calling us to be, of what being community is all about, and that we recognize that our job is not yet done. That if you've called us to be a church family here, then you've called us to be community one with another and to try to emulate those traits of the early church. And so, Lord, we give to you the HPC family this Lord's Day. And we ask that you will inspire us, that you will fill us with that same drive to be community together, to seek your face and time one with another, that you will burden us with the responsibility of prayer, so that we can lay before you the tracks of which your power will come through. And Lord, may we see the same generosity, generous spirit fill us as it filled them. Lord, we give this all to you. And we ask that you use us in the same way you used the early church. It's in your holy and most precious name we pray. Amen.